young Christian is a scary time. I suppose maybe that happens to all of us, but what a privilege to answer before men the moorings of our spiritual walk. Answer before men our walk with God. What a privilege. What a privilege. It's a checkpoint in life that we need. God has appointed it. He tells us to do it in His Word, and that is why we're here tonight. It's not something that has been fabricated by man, but it has been ordained of God for our spiritual safety. Why? So that we can reach heaven. It's really the goal. Turn with me to a beloved promise in Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. It is a verse that has gripped my heart this week, and it didn't seem like it could let me go, and somehow I couldn't let it go. It was not my plans to preach on this, but we were having a discussion on Monday evening, some brother-in-laws and myself, and this verse came up, and I couldn't let it go. It was a beautiful thought, and I had to search into it, see what it meant, and thereby I received inspiration. I'd like to share that with you this evening. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Tonight, part of the question, a part of the answer that we are going to give before men is, are we dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty? Are we under it, the perimeters of the Almighty, that shadow? You know, it doesn't take too long in our work or in our acquaintances with men of the world, maybe even among ourselves. And the word coverage comes up. An accident happens. Someone wrecks a vehicle. Someone overturns a tractor. Some kind of tragedy. Storm blows over a building. What kind of coverage you have? Are you covered? What's your insurance policy? Who is it that is your insurance holder? What kind of coverage? Tonight, there's a spiritual question that comes to myself, it comes to you, it comes to one and all. What kind of coverage do you have? Are we under the shadow of the Almighty? And what does it mean to dwell in that secret place? What is the secret place? Unfortunately for Matt and Leroy and Josh tonight, you won't be able to discuss this with me while I'm here. We were discussing what that meant. Maybe afterwards. There's a lot more here tonight than we can cover, and I'd be interested in hearing more from the brethren, but it's a verse that's really gripped my heart. The other thing I think of when I think of abiding under and the title would be Abiding Under the Shadow of the Almighty. That's the title. Abiding Under the Shadow of the Almighty. When I think of that shadow and abiding under it, it tells me there are perimeters. There are limits. Not because God has limits, not because He is not capable, but because He has set perimeters. There is requirements to fall under the shadow of the Almighty. Perimeters. You know, there's probably been times on a hot day, just like we've been facing the last several weeks, where you took a short break and you went under a shade tree somewhere, under the shadow of that tree. You found comfort, you found relief, you found protection from the sun. But that tree didn't cover everything. The requirement was you needed to be under it. You need to be within the perimeters of that shade to receive the reward and to receive what it had there for you. When I think of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, I think of a place of sufficient protection, safety. Am I safe? Am I safe under this shadow of the Almighty? Am I at a place of safety? When I think of a place of sufficient protection, I think of, will I be taken care of when something unexpected or expected happens? You know, we're expecting great events ere long. The sounding of the trumpet, the return of the Lord. the end of the ages? Will I be taken care of? Do I have coverage when that expected event comes? It could be an unexpected happening, an unexpected death, my unexpected death. Will I be taken care of? Do I have coverage? Am I in a place of sufficient protection? When I think of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, I think of a place of abundant blessings. That would probably fit the shade tree more than the former example. But as Christians, we expect temptations and we expect trials and we expect hardship. Yet we expect grace to help in time of need. It's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. This is this blessing, this abundant blessing. We expect Jesus to return to judge the quick and the dead. Yet we expect, as Christians, to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." We expect, as Christians, a home in heaven when life is over. But the question remains, have we fulfilled the requirement that activates the promise? So further examining, what does it mean? What does the dwelling in the secret place of the Most High mean? As I was studying, I found Psalm 27, verse 5. And I'll just read it there, just to read the one phrase. It says, "He shall hide me in the secret of his tabernacle." And in my mind, it came to me, I said, I wonder if the psalmist is reflecting on the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And so I didn't want to be on a limb out by myself, so I checked a commentary. What does he say? And he said the same thing. My heart was blessed. As I thought about the psalmist, as he looked forward in faith, a man that probably never saw the Holy of Holies, because it was only the high priest that entered it once a year. And very few men saw the inside of the Holy of Holies. But here was a man through faith that said, if I could just dwell in the Holy of Holies, Holy of Holies, then I would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If only I could live there. I believe that's what he's referring to. The reference is made, I believe, to the Holy of Holies. A place of spiritual safety. A place of holiness. Turn with me then to Hebrews chapter 9. We'd like to read verses 1 through 14. We'd like to talk a little bit about this priest's experience in the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to look at the Old Testament account in relation to how all the sacrifices happened and all of that, but we're going to like to zero in on the Holy of Holies and take some practical lessons for our Christian life today. That would be the focus of the message. Hebrews chapter 9, 1 through 14. "Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now then, these things were thus ordained. The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There really should be a series of messages on this passage, but we're going to zero in on that Holy of Holies. And I'd like to just talk about what was happening, as I read in Leviticus also. You know, if we could somehow enter into this and remember this special privilege of the high priest, and probably also a little bit scary. But this special privilege, once a year, not many individuals had the privilege of entering into that holy place. Few men, few times. So the priest would, outside in the outer court, he would kill the animal. I believe it was a bullock and also a he-goat. And he was to take that blood and a censer, and was to enter into the holy place. And I can only imagine in his heart what was happening. He hadn't done it for a whole year. And inside of that was tremendous holiness. And I don't know what words to put to it. But I just put myself in his place, and I walked through that veil with the censer. It says in Leviticus, it says he was to take a censer full of hot coals from off the altar, and also blood. And as he walked through that veil and he entered in, and there he was to put the incense into that censer full of hot coals. And as the smoke came off of that incense, it said it hovered over the mercy seat. It covered the mercy seat with that sweet smelling incense. And as he saw all of that happening, he was to go there and he was to put blood sprinkled before the mercy seat and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And there he beheld the Shekinah glory and the presence of an almighty holy God. What a privilege. And he was to offer. This blood was for his own sins and for the sins of the people. A privilege to enter into that holy place. And you will know something about all of that, but you probably know, maybe some of the younger ones don't, but that if he didn't do it exactly right, he would die. He would die because it was an holy place. There was no sin. If he went in without blood, he would die. If he went in without the censer and the hot coals and the incense, and he didn't sprinkle the blood, he would die. Tremendous holiness was there. Hebrews chapter 10. 16 through 22. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. After what days? After the Old Testament. After Jesus has come, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When Jesus came, it was not only now the high priest, it was not only those few people that could enter, and then just that an occasion. But we can enter boldly into that holiest of holies. We can go to where God's presence is, and I'm getting ahead of myself. We can enter. He made a way. Jesus Christ. We can enter boldly. Not with that fear that the high priest, I almost think he had to have. Am I doing it just right? And then there is the part of doing it just right even with God today. But the great, the terrible holiness that was the part of the tabernacle experience. Jesus opened that all up. The veil was rent from top to bottom, rent in twain when Jesus died on the cross. This in Hebrews chapter 10 tells of our privilege today. It has been opened up. And I believe as I read there in Psalm 91 verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwells there in the presence of God, he that dwells there in the holy of holies, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And somehow that psalmist, by faith and by inspiration of God, was looking far ahead and telling about something that he didn't even know about. Except he knew it by the Old Testament. And he said, if I could just somehow, if we can live there, I want to abide under that shadow. I want that blessing. I want that protection. Well, 5 points. I'd like to give on what does it mean to dwell in the secret place. What does it mean? I believe the psalmist was wishing for that preparation unto holiness continually. As that high priest, as he thought about the steps that the high priest took, as he thought about the way that the high priest entered in, he said, if he could just live there. Because of the preparation of holiness, And the holiness that needed to be so that the high priest was accepted within. So what does it mean to dwell within the secret place for us today? Number one, it is dwelling always where Jesus made a way. Dwelling always where Jesus made a way. And that is where sins have been taken away. Jesus made a way that our sins can be taken away. And we are to dwell within that holy of holies where Jesus had made a way and our sins are forgiven. Dwell there. Stay there. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When our sins are taken away, we can receive that protection. We can receive that blessing, that shade, yes, that coverage. I believe it also is talking about His will for us. God's will for our lives. Dwelling where Jesus has made a way. There are the do's and the don'ts of the Scripture. There are the paths of holiness. There are the paths of righteousness. And yes, there are the paths of evil and wickedness. We are to dwell where Jesus made a way, where His feet have trod, the example that He has given us. Walk those paths. I believe that is a part of dwelling in the secret place. Number two, it is dwelling always in the presence of Almighty God. Dwelling in the presence of Almighty God. As that priest come in and he saw the Shekinah glory, and if you go back to Exodus, and I don't remember the chapter right now, but God told Moses, He said, I will dwell among the cherubims. He said, I will speak to you from there. So God dwelt there. And that's what the psalmist was saying. If we can dwell in that secret place, in the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, and where He will speak to me, then I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Shekinah glory dwelling always in the presence of Almighty God. Never-ending inspiration. And I wonder sometimes why I run out of inspiration. Am I walking away? Is my back turned to the Shekinah glory? Is my back turned to the presence of Almighty God as He's resting there between the cherubims? What happens when I lose my inspiration? What is it? Number three, it is dwelling always where there is plenteous provision. If you followed there in Hebrews chapter 9, it said there was the Ark of the Covenant, and within it was the pot of manna. You go the whole way back to probably Leviticus or Exodus, I'm not sure of the chapter of that either. But they, I believe it was Moses that put a pot of manna, that miracle food that God gave, they put it within the Ark of the Covenant so it would be a testimony of God's provision. And again, as the psalmist was writing this, I believe his mind was in that Holy of Holies. And he knew that pot of manna was in there, that miracle food. And he said, if somehow I could dwell in that secret place of the Most High, where there is always provision and always miracle food as the manna, as God fed the children of Israel, as it rained out of the sky, and they went out in the mornings and they picked it up and they ate. For year after year after year after year. He said, I want that for my spiritual good. I want that for my spiritual life. I want to be healthy and strong for God. Dwelling always where there is plenteous provision. Number four, what does it mean to dwell in the secret place? I believe it is dwelling always where there is miracle life. There was another thing that was with another item that was in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod that budded was within that ark again as a testimony. In Numbers chapter 17, verse 8, it says that Moses put Aaron's rod in there. In chapter 17, I'm not sure which one verse 8 is. I think that's the one it tells about the rod budding. But if you go in chapter 16, the people of the children of Israel were murmuring against the leadership of Aaron and Moses. And Moses said, let's gather a rod from the 12 tribes and we'll put them here. I believe it was in the tabernacle. I should have read that a little closer. And when they came in the morning, and the idea was that he said, God will make the rod of whom he wants to serve him in leadership, he will make that rod to bud. And in the morning they came and Aaron's rod had budded. A dry stick had sprouted leaves. It had budded. Does it say it gave forth almonds? Why do I think it said that? I think it does. Overnight. It speaks to me, brothers and sisters, speaks to me of regeneration. You and I were all dry limbs of a tree. All dry sticks. Regeneration. And again, the psalmist, as he looked, said, if I could just dwell in that secret place and have that miracle life day after day, like Aaron's rod. Regeneration. It is the desire and the will to do right. Not only the desire, and not only the will, but the ability, that miracle life of regeneration when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. To dwell in the secret place is dwelling always where there is miracle life. We could talk about the Word of God, the miracle life that is there. We could talk about the Holy Spirit, the miracle life that is there. But there is miracle life in dwelling in the secret place. And then we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Number five, it is living always with a clean conscience according to God's laws. What does it mean to dwell in the secret place? It is living always with a clean conscience according to God's laws. And I didn't say it that way to eliminate the church, in case you thought it did. Because the church falls under God's laws too. And the church is organized by God and is given the authority to administrate. I get that from within the ark also. Within the ark was the tables of stone that Moses had brought down out of the mountain. And the first pair he broke because of the sins of his frustration at the sins of the children of Israel. But God wrote him some more. And again they were in there. And again the psalmist, as he looked and he said, if I could just dwell in that secret place under the laws of God, under the tables of stone, so that I always have direction. And that should be our heart tonight. We have direction. God's laws are a vital part of the holy place. He that dwelleth in God's laws shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells where there is miracle life shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells where there is plenteous provision shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the presence of Almighty God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells always where Jesus made a way shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The question for us tonight is, am I dwelling in the secret place? Am I? You know, there does seem to be a danger sometimes of council time becoming an occasion, not a state of being. In other words, we turn it into an Old Testament occasion where we twice a year enter into the holy place to give an account twice a year instead of a state of being. Our Christian life needs to be a state of being, not twice a year council time. I believe that firmly. If we dwell, we shall abide. Maybe clarifying that the previous, that danger of council time becoming an occasion, not a state of being. You know, it's a wonderful thing if council time is the time to clean up our lives, for you to clean up your life, if it's going to stay cleaned up. But if twice a year we clean up our lives just so we can enter the holy place, how should I say this? But do you think that priest, that high priest, would have lived if he only cleaned up just occasionally just to enter the holy place? And that's a little the way it was in the Old Testament, maybe. But God wants us to live a continuously clean life. The New Testament precedent is to dwell within the holy place. To always be clean. Always. If we dwell, we shall abide. If we do not dwell, we shall not abide. Is the approval of Almighty God upon all of my life? You know, it's not so hard for the human being to come to a meeting like this and say, we're going to kind of throw it in the balance here. I do all of these good things, and these things are right. But it outweighs this one little problem I have. It outweighs this sin that I'm involved in. But is the approval of God upon all of my life? He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'd like to just read the rest of the chapter at this time in closing. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, dwelling place. Now I lost my place. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, because we have met the requirement that activates the promise.